G'day and welcome to Part 8. We're now on day 30 of our series Glimpses, looking at the story of the Bible in just 30 days, from the time of creation through to the time of the fullness of redemption. Today, we conclude this series, looking at when, as King Jesus himself promised, that he would come again. That is the fullness of redemption. For believers in Jesus Christ, living almost 2,000 years after Jesus spoke these words in Revelation chapter 22 verse 7, "Behold, I am coming soon." For them, this is their hope. So, when will King Jesus come? Jesus frequently said during his earthly life things such as, "I will come back and take you to be with me," John 14 verse 3. And the angels, after Jesus' ascension back to the right hand of the Father, said to the disciples, "Jesus will come back the same way he went to heaven," in Acts 1 verse 11. When will this occur? Nobody knows. But we do know that it will be unexpected, that there will be events preceding his coming, and it will occur after the gospel has been preached to the whole world. What we also know is that believers are to be alert, ready, waiting, watching, hopeful, and working for God's kingdom. Matthew chapter 24 verse 42 to 44. His people, his church of all believers, are to be alert, self-controlled, and encouraging other. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But why will he come to return? He will come to judge the Antichrist and his followers. Jesus will come to bind Satan and place judgment upon him, and he will come to judge all of humanity. And then finally Jesus Christ will come and set up an earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. Unsurprisingly, there are many different views about this event. It is the Bible after all. But there are two main schools of thought. There is what is called amillennialism and premillennialism. Firstly, the amillennial view. This is primarily a figurative or spiritual interpretation of these passages of Scripture. This view sees the Old Testament promises to Israel being fulfilled in the church. The millennium is the reign of Jesus in the church, the new Israel, and the church is already experiencing a tribulation. Then there's the premillennial view. Jesus will return to set up his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. God promises to Israel a restoration, a future king and temple will await fulfillment. God can be seen to have a separate program for the church. Jesus' coming is when Jesus Christ returns to take his people to be with him. That the dead in Christ are raised and the living are changed. His coming to earth will be at the Mount of Olives, and it will be with power and glory, and everyone on all the earth will see him. What has the church down through history said? The view of the church for the first 200 years was, unsurprisingly, that of a literal return of Jesus Christ, 1,000 years after the coming of the Holy Spirit. Early church leaders such as Papias, Irenaeus, and Justin Martyr taught this view, and these men were not that far removed from the Apostle John. Origen promoted the figurative or spiritual method of interpretation, and the Church Father Augustine developed an amillennial view, where they identified the church with the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises to Israel, and then this later became official Roman Catholic doctrine. Many scholars later returned to the premillennial or literal view after the Reformation. Then the resurrection. King Jesus will come suddenly, bringing destruction while people are saying peace and safety. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 1 to 3. The bodily resurrection of the dead, both believers and unbelievers, is clearly taught throughout the scripture. John 5 verse 28 to 29, Acts 24 verse 15 for example. And Jesus' own resurrection is the guarantee of the resurrection of believers. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20 to 22. And at their resurrection, believers will have bodies changed into those like Jesus' glorious body, which won't be made of flesh and blood, and they won't just be partly spiritual. and for those who are unbelievers, they also will be resurrected and cast into a lake of fire. What is the timing of these two resurrections? The first resurrection will occur when Jesus comes in the air to take his believers and followers, according to 1 Corinthians 15 verse 23 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. And the second resurrection will be of the unsaved and the unbelievers, according to Revelation 20 verse 5 and 11 to 13. And unsurprisingly again, both believers and unbelievers will face judgment. So judgment comes. And throughout the Bible we see that there is a certainty of judgment for all people. And this King Jesus will judge the whole world of all people of all time with justice and mercy. Every human who has ever lived is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. Who is this judge? God is the judge of all the earth. And God the Father has given all judgment to Jesus Christ, his Son. This judgment of the believers. Believers and followers of King Jesus will not be judged for their sin because that has already been judged when they started believing in Jesus as the Messiah and King. They'll be judged for their works and have to give an account to God of what they have done with what they were given. And the quality of work will be tested and motives will be exposed. Either things were done for God's glory or for the person's own glory. And rewards may be gained or lost and includes various crowns. There's the incorruptible crown, the crown of glory, the crown of righteousness, the crown of rejoicing, and finally the crown of life. Then there's judgment of unbelievers, and these people will stand before the great white throne of judgment. And as they didn't respond to God's call of salvation, they'll be cast into the lake of fire with Satan and his angels. And this punishment is everlasting. And then there's also talk of two places, heaven and hell. What are heaven and hell like? Both are physical places where every person will be in one or the other. King Jesus spoke of the reality of a literal hell more than anybody else. And this hell, what are its characteristics? It's like an everlasting fire and punishment. It's constant and there's outer darkness. It's described as everlasting destruction and lakes of fire, primarily prepared for Satan and his demons, but also the disobedient and for those who have openly rejected Jesus Christ during their earthly life. As opposed to this dark place of hell, there is a heaven. Characteristics of heaven will be joy, rest, peace, righteousness, service, reward, inheritance, and glory. Martin Luther even exclaimed that heaven is full of laughter. And this is prepared for all those who are believers in God and Jesus Christ and his plan of salvation, and therefore have their names recorded in the book of life, including those before Jesus' first coming, as they will be declared righteous, obedient, and holy. Heaven is described as a house, a kingdom, a paradise, and a holy city. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth to replace the old heaven and the old earth. This is the fullness of redemption, the whole story of the Bible that we've been looking at these past 30 days in this series. But I must ask this, do you know where you stand? Are you a believer or an unbeliever? If you are not yet a believer, you can respond right now to King Jesus today, and then you will not be without an excuse when it comes your time to face him as your judge. He is ready and willing to take you as his own right now. If you want to become a Christian believer right now, a follower of Jesus Christ, there are three simple steps to follow. Firstly, admit that you have done wrong against God and his ways. Secondly, believe and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Call on him, receive him, trust him, obey and worship him, recognizing him for who he is and what he has done. You can do nothing to earn your salvation. It is a free gift from God through his grace. And then lastly, confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Take him by faith. Once your sins have been confessed and Jesus is believed in and trusted as Savior, then you are a Christian believer and you are part of the church. Now you are ready, as the Apostle Peter wrote in the Bible, to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to the family of God. Let us know here at Partakers if you have taken this step. Thank you.